This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Andy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
EFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
Okay, it's 12 o'clock Eastern Time. That means it's time for PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale here with you until 2 o'clock. And who knows who else might stop by between now and 2. But we're here to talk Patriots, getting ready for this big Sunday night clash against the Colts. And all kinds of stuff going on now. The Patriots injury report is now increased to, like, what, 21 guys now? Something like that. They've included Mike Wysick, strength and conditioning coach, and Edie, who cleans the kitchen. So it's a long list, Tom. How you
just
doing?
Just to let everyone know, I'm day to day.
You're day to day.
Yeah, I'm day to day.
I'm doubtful.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm doubtful. Well, I'll tell you why. I didn't tell you what happened to me last night.
No.
Coming home from work, right up about 200 yards from where I turned onto my street in Rentham, I'm talking about a full-grown buck jumped out, and I smashed right into it.
You're kidding me.
No, no. Pretty much totaled my Jeep.
The Jeep is no more?
Well, it's in my driveway right now. I'm waiting for the appraiser to come in and tell me whether or not it's totaled or whether it's...
Wow.
At a minimum, the whole front end needs to be replaced, and... you know, the radiator, you know, there's stuff coming all out.
Did your die?
Well, I know I broke at least two of its legs, and it crawled. I felt terrible.
There's nothing you can do.
I know, but it crawled off into the woods.
Oh, did it?
I pulled over, and I called the police, and they said, are you hurt? No. Is the car drivable? I go, yeah, I think so. He said, is the deer in the road? I said, no. He goes, all right. Stop by when you can and file a report. It's like Mayberry RFD, you know? So I was close enough to home where I got home. You know, the radiator was steaming and everything.
Right. Did the Sirius satellite receiver make it?
That's fine.
Good.
Fine. You know, so now I have a rental car. And
The Jeep is no more. I cannot believe it.
Well, I don't think it will be. You know, because it's a 98.
Right.
It's got 160,000 miles on it. So chances are with the new front end and radiator, God knows what, they're going to just...
Those things are... I didn't hit one, but one jumped out at me, and I just missed it. But those things, you don't realize how big they are until you're about to hit one of them.
I felt so bad, though. You know, I would rather have the Jeep totaled than have this deer hurt, you know? That's the way I felt. You know, it was a huge, you know, with the four-point antlers and all that thing.
So people sit in the woods for hours trying to shoot one, and you just ran it over.
Nailed it. Oh, I felt so bad. You know, well, what are you going to do? The stupid thing just ran right out there.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do.
You know?
It's the animal, it's the food chain, Fred, you know?
Well, yeah, but I'm not eating it. That's
no, I'm just
problem.
Saying it's it's an animal. There's nothing, you can't control it.
I know, but, geez, I felt so bad. So now... if they call it a loss, then I got to find a new car.
Well, you were going to get a new car anyway, right?
Well, I was going to wait till the spring.
Oh.
I was going to wait till the spring.
So now it's kind of speeding the process up.
Speeding it up, you know, so I don't know what the hell I'm going to do.
That's tough.
It's tough. Anyway.
Now, does insurance do anything with that?
Well, yeah, they'll cover, you know, they cover it. If it's a loss, they'll pay for the book value of the Jeep, which is about $10 right now. So that'll be a nice hefty down payment on the car, you know? Yeah, so I'm really not ready to get a new car, but I might have to.
So you really are doubtful.
I am doubtful. I could be out. I could be out.
If this was just a regular game, you might be, but not for the Colts game.
I went home. I was a little stiff. I took a couple ibuprofen and a glass of scotch on the rocks.
Did you get that whiplash?
And I'm not a scotch drinker, but somebody gave me a real nice bottle. So, you know, it's one of those bottles that come in the wooden case.
Yeah.
You know, so I guess it's good scotch. I wouldn't know. I hate scotch, but, you know.
Did you get that whiplash?
I was a little stiff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but I was surprised the airbag didn't deploy.
That's good to know.
So I don't know if that means it's not working or not.
Let me tell you something. I got in an accident once and totaled my whole car in the wintertime. I hit a piece of ice. The airbag came out. It was broke.
Oh.
It was just a bunch of puff of like stuff all
me?
Over me.
Oh my
so that's
God.
That's how reliable those things are.
yours
didn't come out and mine didn't even open.
I could just see you with the white stuff. All
it's all over me. Car was totaled.
Chevy Chase.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was before cell phones were big, and I didn't have one, so I'm sitting in the middle of the road.
The car won't start up again, right?
Oh no, totally destroyed the front.
Oh Jesus!
The windshield was smashed.
Anyway, I just thought
I'd... luckily for everybody, I survived.
I just thought I'd share that with everyone. If I seem a little more off than I usually am, then that's why.
Louisville cover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were getting points.
So, all right. Okay, well, we got a lot of emails, webradio@patriots.com. Today was Bill Belichick at his press conference at 10:10 today.
Yeah.
They're changing things all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Well, so how was the press conference? Was it the usual Friday crowd, or was it a little bit more because it's the Colts?
No, there was a guy there from Indianapolis
who
wasn't used to how we do things around here, so he was asking questions about Adam Vinatieri, but Bill shot those down pretty quick.
Right.
And then Tom Curran, the best moment of the press conference was Tom Curran, who said, Bill, I need to ask you a personal question. So everybody, like, tenses up. Bill's face looks, and Tom looks serious, too.
Right,
so you're thinking, we know where this might be going.
Yeah.
And then he goes, does your mother ever say anything about the way you dress on the sidelines?
What did he say?
He said, there's a lot of things that my mother isn't happy with when it comes to me. And so they asked, you know, final question. And, of course, Burt Breer has to give a statement. And so after he leaves, I don't know if they got in a fight, but Curran says to Burt Breer, he said, Breer, they said final question, not final statement. And Breer said something to him, and I don't know, like, how serious it was.
Were they going back and forth?
A little bit, yeah.
See, Curran, he
and plus
care.
he doesn't work here. I mean,
I know,
he's a national writer
anymore,
now, so
yeah.
He can pretty much. That's why when he said, I got to ask you a personal question, I'm thinking, uh-oh, because he's national now, and he doesn't have to.
Right.
But, he asked if his mother knew.
That's funny.
But it was basically the same garbage
that
we always get on Friday.
Nothing new. How about, well, the locker room isn't open till 1:30.
Right.
Right. So I remember that.
Yeah.
It's
that's
Friday.
That's the first time.
That's a change on Friday. So injury report is 21 players, but we should probably disregard the whole thing.
I think you should look at Eugene Wilson and Daniel Graham.
Those are the two to worry about?
If you were going to look at guys who might really be, and Stephen Neal, but he's been practicing and looks like he's going to be back for this game. So the two guys, because they've missed some time recently, I think, are Wilson and Graham.
Yeah. Dan Shaughnessy in today's Globe had a piece about the rivalry and how, you know, the teams are taking shots at each other even though they're denying it. You know, all
I have the end of the press conference. You want to hear what Tom Curran said to Burt Breer?
Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Thank you, Coach.
I really can't hear it, Gary. It's this too much.
Faintly, you could hear. Not final question, not final statement. And you hear Andy laughing.
We were laughing.
Poor Bert. He's just trying to. It's just trying to fit in, you know.
Yeah, I know, but
I know it's
you know. I don't mind people asking questions if they're writing stories,
right?
You know what I mean? Like sometimes Alan Greenberg is writing a specific story, and he'll ask five or six questions. I'm fine with that, but the problem I have with Bert is that he doesn't really use any of the information in his stories. No, he's just asking it for personal knowledge.
It's a campfire talk.
Yeah,
you know. He's,
I mean, you know how many questions I would love to ask Bill Belichick?
Sure.
I just don't want to take up people's time when they're meaningless.
Absolutely. So that's, you know, a little. That made the press conference a little interesting anyway.
Well, know. I think Tom's level and his standard is pretty special.
Absolutely. NFL poll on NFL.com. 53% of the people think that Peyton Manning is the better quarterback than Tom Brady.
That's about, I mean, I figured it'd be about 50-50 if you asked everybody.
Yeah.
So
I made sure to email that to the Patriots football operations, just a little bulletin board stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think Manning's having a little bit better year stat-wise, so he's got a couple extra
points. But he always
has. Yeah, it's close.
The question is,
Brady.
Who would you pick?
I'd pick Brady.
And I think most people would.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the bottom line. Who would you start your team around?
The problem I have with Manning doesn't just stem from the Colts. It goes back to college. I mean, you know how big I am on college football.
Yep.
Every time he had a chance in a big game, he played the same way that he does in the playoffs in the NFL. He'd throw interceptions, his team would come up short, and I just find it hard to believe that you can do that in college and the pros, and then people say, well, it's not his fault. Well, some of it has to be his fault.
And yes.
You know, the defense gave up 20 points to the Patriots in the snow. They gave up 21 points to the Steelers. If you have a great offense, I know the Colts don't have a great defense, but those are good enough numbers for you to win.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem I have with him. It's whenever he played Florida, whenever he played Nebraska in a big bowl game, he always plays the same way. So until he gets over that hump, I can't see how you can possibly put him ahead of Brady. Because if you put Manning here, I think he would still do well, and I think the team would do well. But if you put Brady on the Colts, I don't think they'd, I mean, I think not only would they not miss a beat, I think it would be like the Vinatieri Vanderjack thing, where you actually step up a little bit in the, this guy's a winner type thing, and I think they'd win a Super Bowl.
I've always said, Peyton Manning was born to, be a quarterback and a football player, but, Tom Brady was born to be a winner. I don't care what it is. You know, he's gonna win.
Right.
You know, you could be playing ping pong with him. He'll keep playing until he wins. So, I think that's the difference between the two, and I think it's all upstairs. It's all upstairs. Because obviously, natural physical ability, Peyton Manning might even be better. You know, but it just comes to...
Well, I think he's better as far as arm strength and things like that go.
Yeah. You know, but I think it's just that mentality of when it's crunch time, and things aren't working out exactly for me, can I adjust? Can I figure out what I need to do to keep,
well,
keep going?
I always go back to the Harris Barton thing where he says Joe Montana before the drive in the Super Bowl noticed John Candy eating popcorn in the stands.
Yeah.
And it's just, I feel that the select great ones are in a bubble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the pressure's around them, everyone's feeling it, but they're not. Somehow they can block it out. For that to be the biggest moment in your life, and Joe Montana cracking a joke about someone sitting in the stands eating popcorn, that just shows the kind of mental attitude that he has.
It's just the comfort level that they have. They don't get riled. And that's the difference between the two guys. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Anything else going on we should know about? The new turf. I heard on Sirius Radio today Randy Cross talking about, you know, they're going to be playing in the sand pit known as Gillette Stadium, but he hasn't seen the field lately. It looks really nice, actually.
Well, we'll have to see how it holds up when,
the,
you know, because it's going to be cold. It's going to be
sure.
We'll have to see how it holds, but it does look a lot better.
You know, it's real grass and it's level and I think fans that haven't seen it are going to be, you know, mildly surprised at how it looks compared to the last time they've seen it.
No, Bill Polian will be happy.
Well,
that's all that matters.
He's never happy. He's never happy. The game plan is gone. The movie's done.
Yep, thank God.
So that's all out of here. I saw them taking down the whole tent, that, you know, big tent that they had. And so that's gone. We're back to normal here at Gillette Stadium. Things are a little quiet before the storm. Sunday night.
It's going to be a big one.
Oh, it's going to be a big one. Get here early.
I'm predicting the most watched game, regular season game of all time.
Really?
Yep.
Really? That big?
Not Super Bowl, but regular season, I think it's going to be the most watched game of all time.
Wow. Yeah, why not? Sunday night, what else is there?
That's what I'm saying. It's just, the reason I say that is because it is on Sunday night, and so many people will be home, and I just think it's the Brady Manning thing. I think even if you're not a huge football fan, it kind of that drama kind of draws you in. Plus, you have the added, no one wants to miss if it comes down to Adam Vinatieri kicking a field goal. So it's almost like you have to watch no matter what, because just if you see that.
I'm telling you, if it comes down to that, bring the defibrillator up, because Fred's going to be on the floor. I can just, over time, Vinatieri has a chance to win it. It gets blocked, and then Guskowski comes on and wins it. That would be like, can you imagine Polian if that happened? Oh, my God.
Can you imagine Fred if that happened?
Well, I'm already saying that. I'm going to need to be revived.
Oh, Polian will definitely get in a fight.
He'll get into a fight.
And matter of fact, if that happens, I'm going to run and go stand
because
right next to him.
Because Curran's going to be there. Curran's the one that really reported about the broken leg. You know, a lot of people heard it, but he's the one that first wrote it, that he said that about breaking Flutie's leg at that game because he was sitting right below Paul. So he'll say something. He'll turn around and tell the guy to shut up.
Right.
Curran will, because he just doesn't care. You know?
Fred, you want my mini disc recorder? You can just kind of let it run the whole game.
I'm telling you, we'll talk about that later.
Off the air.
Yeah. All right. Should we get to some emails, Tom?
You said you got a lot of them.
I got a lot of emails. People want to talk. Eric from Manchester, this one goes to you, so it's a good one to start off with. He said, on ESPN.com chat Thursday, this transpired. A guy named Greg from Amarillo, Texas said, Adrian Peterson is a no-brainer to be the number one NFL draft pick, right? And some guy from ESPN named Joe Shad, mm-hmm. I don't know him, he said, I think he should be, but some teams think it's a waste to use the number one pick on a running back. This guy will be an NFL Hall of Famer, though. Tom's opinion on Adrian Peterson, please.
The guy is an unstoppable machine. I saw him when he
better than Reggie Bush?
A different kind of player. Bush is that all-purpose kind of guy. I mean, Bush hasn't really taken to the NFL game as well as I thought he would, so I'm a little disappointed in him. You're talking about a true Corey Dillon with speed. I mean, this is a freak of nature. I saw him when he was 18, and when they said he was in high school, I thought he was in the pros. I mean, that's how big he was when he was 18 years old. He's just a machine. The only problem is, and I don't want to insinuate anything, but because he's so abnormally muscular and big for his age, he has had some injury issues, and you know what kind of that ties into. But I will agree that running backs usually don't go first in the draft. Maybe, you know, teams are pretty set at the running back position. Should he go first? Yes, he's the best player coming out in the draft, bar none. But I don't know if he will, because you're going to have your Brady Quinns, your Troy Smiths, you know, guys like that coming out, and quarterbacks tend to go higher. But
what do you think of Troy Smith? Is he?
I don't like him.
Is he just another Michael Bishop type guy?
No, he's better. He's better than Michael Bishop. I actually think this is one of those years, like the David Carr, Joey Harrington year, where all the quarterbacks are overrated. Anyone who gets Brady Quinn, say goodnight, because you got an overrated guy who's racking up college numbers because Charlie Weiss put in an offense designed to throw the football. I see him when his first guy is covered, he is not good at looking off and throwing the ball. I mean, those receivers are great for college receivers. You know what I mean? McKnight, Samardzija, they're phenomenal college receivers, and I'm not big on the quarterbacks this year. I think they'll go way too high, and I think the Troy Smith is going to go way too high, too. He'll probably win the Heisman and be another one of those Heisman Trophy winners that doesn't perform well in the pros. But Adrian Peterson, best player coming out.
Okay, there you go. There's Tom's report. The sheriff has spoken. Rob writes in, he said, I just saw the Colts-Pats injury report, and I cannot believe that I counted 17 names. Well, that was a couple days ago. Read it now. It's 21. He says, this has to be a record. Since each team is composed of 53 people, this means that 16% of the total possible participants in Sunday's game are hurt enough to maybe not play. I know Coach Belichick doesn't give any useful information about injuries, and he seems to love playing with the injury report, but is this a contagious condition? There is no mention of Peyton Manning having a right shoulder, so I guess there will be at least one healthy QB in the game, but both Brady and Castle are listed as probable. How much of this injury report, especially on the Patriots side, 30% of the team, 37% of the team, is due to the short week?
It's due to nothing.
It's due to nothing, Rob.
Richard Seymour's playing. Ty Warren's playing. I can go down the list for you. Like I said, Stephen Neal, slight concern because he missed the last game. I think he'll play. Graham Wilson are your two guys that you really want to watch out for. Wilson, for me, I don't think it's a big deal if he's there or not, but he's one of the guys that Graham, I think, is the big one because he helps out with Freeney. He's big in the running game, which he'll probably want to run the football. So hopefully, and I believe he will be back this week. But I think if you put Dave Thomas in that situation this week, you might run into some trouble.
I mean, it is so obvious, you know, that Bill Belichick just doesn't care.
Yeah.
He really doesn't think that.
And the Colts are just doing the same thing.
Well, yeah.
None of those guys are hurt. Most of those guys aren't hurt either.
You know, he really doesn't think that the rules around injury reports are good rules. He disagrees probably with the policy, and he just, you know, kind of makes a mockery of it while not disobeying the rules. He just takes it to the limit. If you're in the NFL, what are you thinking? What do you do? Do you, you know, because a year or two ago they amended the NFL injury rule that you have to be a little bit more specific with what the actual injury is. You can't just say leg. You have to say shin or ankle or knee or thigh. And you have to show each day whether or not the person missed a portion of the practice.
I'll tell you what
These are new rules that
take out questionable. Probable, doubtful, out.
Probable, doubtful, out. Okay.
That'll eliminate all this crap because every guy in the world is questionable. Because you can get that. There's the loophole right there.
That's right.
So, I mean, Andy believes that Belichick should be fined $1 million.
He's had some good ones lately.
But I think that is the loophole, that questionable is 50-50, and who's to say what 50-50 is? It could be anything,
right?
You know?
Right. You don't know. You know, you're thinking it's 50-50 because it might get worse, it might get better. You don't know.
Could be a guy returning from wrist surgery. It could be a guy who jammed his finger. 50-50.
You know what we should call the questionable designation? The Brian Lowe designation. I could be hurt.
Okay. I might be hurt. I'm not saying I'm not going to play, but I might play.
Maybe I won't play. Maybe I will play. I don't know. So we'll call that the Brian Lowe designation from now on.
I agree. It's overrated and useless.
Dave from the Philippines. Did you guys see the NFL.com feature asking their columnist to choose between Peyton and Tom? Although all six said nice things about both of them, geez, that's nice, as they deserve undoubtedly, every single one of them picked Tom Brady. I hope Peyton didn't read it. The last thing we need is to give him extra motivation. That's interesting because that went against the user poll with about 36,000 people voting. 53% had Peyton.
It's a tough. I mean, listen, it's like 1A and 1B. You know what I mean? It's like. Now, if Manning wins a Super Bowl, what do you say? You know what I mean? Now he's got the numbers. He's got all this great stuff. Plus, he has a Super Bowl title. Then, you know,
right.
What do you say? Well, Brady won three. So once Manning wins the Super Bowl, if he does, I don't think there's going to be any difference between the two. The only reason I would take Brady, like we said before, is because he's shown in big games that he will turn it up a notch, and that's why I believe you get paid the $20 million.
Right.
Not because you're beating the Texans,
right.
But because in prime time, you're getting the job done.
And, you know, a lot of it will be answered once Peyton, if he ever does, win a Super Bowl. However, I mean, in the two of the Super Bowls that Brady won, he was declared the MVP. If Manning wins a Super Bowl and throws three interceptions and they win despite his performance, I think the jury's still out on Peyton.
I don't think that can possibly happen.
Well, I don't either.
I think if they win a Super Bowl, if he's not the MVP, I think that would be a miracle.
Yeah. David finishes up, mind you, for a regular season game in midseason, I don't think they should get much more motivated than this. The winner will certainly be in the driver's seat for the bye and home field for the playoffs. I really want the Pats to get the bye, but the way they played on the road this year, I'm not so worried about home field advantage. It should really be a good game.
Yeah, but you always want to play at home in the playoffs. You're talking about playing on the road against Buffalo, and when you get to the playoffs, you're talking about the six best teams in the conference, and then home field advantage means more. Certainly, the Patriots could go on the road and beat anybody, but they never lose here.
Right.
So if you have to, trust me, other people don't want the Patriots getting home field advantage. I can promise you that.
Jeff from Sydney, Australia. Loved the show yesterday. People at work were asking me why I was laughing, but it was too hard to explain. Betting here on what we call American football is legal. We have betting agencies here, probably just as the same as yours. You don't need to worry about me losing my house or getting my knees broken. As I said in the email, I only bet my beer money, which is never more than $100. My exposure last week was never more than 50. Tom, your Jacksonville tip here is paying rubbing. So I don't know what that means. It's paying rubbing. So I think I'll give this week a miss. After Fred's tip, I've still got lots of beer money. If you give me a good one, I'll send you a Wallabies jersey. What's a Wallaby?
I don't know. Why doesn't he like? I don't know what why he doesn't like Jacksonville. They're going to win by 30.
Is paying rubbing? I don't know what that means.
I wouldn't dismiss my picks. You can, if James ever chimes in again, you can tell him how well he's making out.
And a Wallab, maybe that's an Australian rules football.
I don't
team.
Know what it is.
Yeah, Fred, if you give me a good outsider, I'll send you one too. Nobody here is going to beat me up after over my football trivia. Only my Chicago friend knows who Tony Dungy is, so they know nothing. Tell Andy not to be too upset. I love reading his and all the other articles in PFW. And P.S., why are you still running those Revolution ads for a game on the 28th of October?
We haven't run any ads.
Well, I don't know where we got it. Yeah, I'd like to know what paying rubbing means.
Maybe he doesn't like the pick.
No, I'm sure, but I want to know what that means. You know, that's local lingo. I want to know, you know, what...
Jacksonville will destroy Tennessee at home. Destroy them.
Okay. I don't think I have a big... I don't have a upset special of the week this week, so I'm going to pass on this week.
Listen, Fred, I'm going to give you props for yours, unlike the other two, because it won, and I don't care how it wins, it won. But if another one of yours wins this year, I'll be extremely shocked.
You know, Tom, you haven't been around long enough. These guys make fun of me, but I've said some things in the past that these guys have laughed at me, and I've been right.
Robbie Gould.
When the Red Sox were, I don't know what it was, 10 games out of first place, I told Paul that by the end of September, they'd be within... 3 games or something, and it was like 3.5, and they ended up winning the World Series that year. You know, and he laughed at me when I said, we bet. I lost the bet because, like, by a half a game, but I was onto something. You know, I get these feelings sometimes, and when I do, I'm rarely wrong.
All right.
It sounds like teach Belichick squat. All right. Steven in Edinburgh, and I guess that's actually Edinburgh.
Okay.
I was schooled on that yesterday by Pink Firewater over there. yesterday you didn't answer my question because Tom came in. It didn't matter as it was about the injury report, and that was the main discussion yesterday. They have added 2 more key players to the list, Maroney and Light. Do you think that they'll play? Also, thanks to Andy for correcting Fred's pronunciation of Edinburgh.
This is what I said in the podcast we just recorded, Fred. If I was a fan, before I got this job, this is how to show you if you're not close to the team, how you can look at things. If I was a fan sitting at home, and I was watching the bottom line on ESPN, and it came up, Matt Light and Lawrence Maroney are questionable this Sunday for the Colts game, I'd say to myself, wow, that could be a big deal. But we work for the team. Matt Light and Lawrence Maroney will play this week. I can promise you that they'll play. So that's how stupid this all is. Like, see, ESPN took that because they saw the injury report, and those are 2 big names that were added. But it means nothing. The fans got to stop, please. We're begging you. Stop looking at that injury report. Just listen to us. We'll tell you. Graham and Wilson are the 2 guys that have been hurt. The other guys are fine. They're going to play. Trust us.
All right. Craig from Boxborough. Terrific insight as always. I wanted to know what you guys think of Peyton Manning and his leadership skills. The national media always portrays him as a great leader, which I believe is inaccurate. I recall seeing Manning throwing fits on the sidelines during losses to the Patriots. Is it possible that Peyton is only a good leader when the team wins, unlike a Brett Favre or Tom Brady.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now, was he talking about Manning or Brady?
Because
if
Manning.
Now he's painting a bad picture here, because if you want to go back and watch last year's Colts game and see how well Tom Brady loses.
Exactly.
I don't think that makes you a bad leader, because you don't, Dan Marino didn't like to lose either. And I think he was a good leader. I think Peyton Manning is a good leader. I just think when it comes crunch time, there's something about him that he puts too much pressure on himself. He doesn't think clearly, but he doesn't perform the same when the stakes are high. Usually, you know, I'm talking about real high, like playoff, when they're supposed to win.
Craig finishes up, I don't see Manning shouldering most of the blame like Brady and Favre can.
That's inaccurate. Tom Brady's probably the worst loser I've ever seen.
He has not.
He throws fits on the sideline.
The whole body language thing was all about him not, you know, things not going well.
It's
So I think the jury's out on how good a loser he is. He just doesn't do it a lot, so we don't have a lot of experience with it. But, you know, if, God forbid, there was ever a season where they were 7-9 or something like that, then we would know. I hope we don't ever have to know.
How can you question Manning as a leader? I mean, this guy, he wins 13 games a year. He directs the best offense in football.
I think Patriots fans need to figure out another thing to rail about.
Now, if you
forget about Peyton Manning, he's a great quarterback. Let's think of some other things to get mad about.
The one thing you can pick at Manning is that he comes up short in the playoffs. If you want to talk about that, that's a fair. But anything else,
and that's
just
why
reaching.
We take Brady. Right,
yeah, you're just reaching.
Let's see, Jack from Sackville, New Brunswick.
Okay.
Just wanted to, and that's in Canada, not New, there's a New Brunswick in New Jersey.
I didn't know that. Oh yeah, that's where, the State University of, New Jersey is, where they will beat Louisville at home next Thursday night.
I went to school in New Brunswick. I was from first grade to seventh grade, I went to St. Thomas the Apostle School.
So you were right next to
New Brunswick, New Jersey.
So you were right next to the State University
of, that's why I know a little bit about Rutgers.
Well, I know they're undefeated.
Just wanted to say that I love the show. I tune in every day and really enjoy the job you guys do. Keep it up. Thank you. Big game this weekend. I feel like we match up well with the Colts, and I expect we'll win the game. It just went down too far. With relative ease. Anyway, moving on to why I'm writing. This morning I was reading an article from ESPN.com by Michael Smith. It was an interesting piece essentially saying that both Manning and Brady will end up number one and two in terms of all-time quarterbacks. Now, I'm not too sure about that. However, there was an interesting part where he talks about staying clear of the who-would-you-rather question. And let me make this clear, that I would want no one else other than Tom Brady, Q being my team. But I found myself very puzzled by the question overall. Hear me out. I find this is very similar to the whole A-Rod Jeter debate. Now, I know football and baseball are different, but I think the point still stands. Anyway, the way these guys are perceived around the sports world is that A-Rod is the stats guy, much like Manning, while Jeter is the winner, much like Brady. I then found myself asking, well, the reason Jeter is considered a winner is because he's always played on great teams, same as Brady. So say if A-Rod played on the Yankees in the late 90s instead of Jeter, do they still win championships? I'm inclined to say yes. Now say if Peyton Manning was on the Patriots over the past 5 years, do they still win championships? I would say yes, wouldn't you? Now, I understand that you can't really simplify it that much. However, I think it's an interesting conversation piece. I'd love to hear what you say on this matter. Anyway, I think Fred's upset pick of the week is going to come to fruition. Miami shocks the Bears at home. I didn't pick that. That wasn't me.
No, it was someone who wrote in.
Somebody wrote in.
Someone
that.
Wrote in.
I'm not going to take credit for that. And, oh, yeah, the Patriots 28, Colts 17. I said Miami covers in that game.
Right.
You know, I say they cover, but they're not going to win the game outright. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. That,
well, the question is, would Manning have won a Super Bowl
on
the Patriots?
But I got a better argument. It's the Emmitt Smith-Barry Sanders argument. There's a lot of people who believe that if Sanders was on the Cowboys, he would have been the... He would have been the NFL, blah, 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 and if Emmitt was on Detroit, he would have struggled and not been as good. And you could argue those kinds of things, but in my opinion, both backs were phenomenal. You know, and I think they would have done well no matter where they were. Sure, Emmitt had a great offensive line, you know what I mean? But if you look at Brady and Manning, you put them on any team in the league, and that team's going to get better instantly. I don't care if it's Philadelphia.
But the question is, would Manning on the Patriots... Would the Patriots still be the championship team Patriots with Manning as quarterback?
I don't know if I can answer that because, like I said, Manning has shown in the big games in college and in the NFL that for some reason he struggles.
I'll tell you why he would still win, Bill Belichick. Because Bill Belichick knows how to coach. And he would know what to do with Manning to get him.
Yeah, but what if it's Manning just throwing bad passes?
Belichick wouldn't allow it.
Oh, I see.
He would use his...
So he's God.
he would use his Jedi mind control over Manning.
Is that why he had such a good record here when Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback?
He needed
That's
to
why he called the play for Drew to get rolled out
yeah.
by Mo Lewis.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Okay, Tom, you were set up a little bit. In a good way. Remember the guy that first emailed about Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
I guess he runs a website, www.adrian-peterson.com, and now he's quoting you on that website. It says, on the most popular Adrian Peterson site in the world, Patriots Football Weekly Radio Show Friday, Tom Casale and Adrian Peterson, quote, the guy is an unstoppable machine. You are talking about a true Corey Dillon with speed. Should he go first? Yes, he's the best player bar none. Adrian Peterson, best player coming out, and the site is run by Eric. So now you're quoted on there.
All right. Hey, I'm big time.
Yeah.
I got another one for the website.
Look at that douchebag.
So I'll
have to check it out.
I like that the radio show being now quoted as a source around the web.
That's good.
You know, because that's what you want. You want, hey, did you hear what the guy said?
Right.
You know, today?
Just don't tell Andy because somehow he'll try to take credit for the Adrian Peterson.
The problem is the more popular we get, the more we're going to get in trouble. You know that.
Right.
You know that. Up to now, we've been kind of insulated, but I don't know. You know, things are really starting to catch on here. I got an email from a law firm the other day that wanted me to come speak to their law firm about innovations that the Patriots have been making.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I declined. I'm not going.
You're like Brady. You know.
I'm not going.
Paul's the Peyton Manning, and you're the Tom Brady. Paul accepts all the offers,
exactly,
and you decline.
Exactly. poor Paul. What's he up to? Is he coming down?
I don't know. He was editing.
Yeah. Cecilia in Boston, Mass. says, can you discuss about the defensive schemes that Belichick has? Were they similar to the ones the New York Giants and Cleveland Browns have when he was there? Why is it that Belichick's system is not as recognized, for example, as the Tampa 2? Maybe you guys have to come up with a popular name for Belichick's system other than Belichick's system. Stealth, since it was so hard to read, or Patriots 11, since it was a team defense, for example. Do you think Maroney has a chance to win Offensive Rookie of the Year award? What do you think he has to do for the rest of the season to win the title, considering the other more popular rookies, Bush, Young, Leinart, etc.?
Well, I actually don't think those guys are really in contention.
The kid from
Colston
from New Orleans,
Maroney and Adai, because Adai has come on now.
Yeah.
So I think those are the three top candidates right now if you were voting.
What about defense?
Who's made
it's a tough big one?
I know whatchamacallit at San Francisco has played well from North Carolina. Manny Lawson has played well. Defense is harder because it takes them longer to make an impact on defense.
Yeah.
You know, the defensive lineman, it takes a year or two for him to really make an impact.
How's Ty Hill playing? We all liked him.
You know what? I really don't know. I know he's playing quite a bit. I don't know how he's playing, though. Once again, we're here in, like, week 8, and I still know nothing about the Rams. It's the one team I don't know anything about. I don't know how to pick them. I don't know anything about the Rams.
Okay, so Belichick's system is, the thing is, he changes it.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
It's not a system.
What you said about the offense, like, well, he would just do this with Manning, I totally disagree with you there. But the defense, I will agree, nobody else can do it because only Belichick can run that system because he's got so much in his head about defense that you can't just take any coach and say, well, here's the system, go ahead and run it.
I think there are keys in every defense. There are keys that certain players look at, linebackers, cornerback, safeties, you know, to know what to do in a situation and the keys that they look at. But, you know, he changes up. I mean, it's everything from four-man to three-man to two-man line to zero blitz to, you know, one, two, cover two, cover three, cover...
And that's the difference. Tampa 2 is a relatively simple style of defense. I mean, the teams that run it, it's basically, you know, you got the two safeties and you got the corners back, and it's kind of a simple defense, so it's easy to run. It's easy to get personnel to run that. When you do something like Belichick does and change it all the time, like you say, you got to get certain kind of players that are adaptable and can be versatile enough to play different positions. It's a much tougher thing to do than to just get guys to run the Tampa 2 defense.
Absolutely. Okay, so I don't think we can give it a name, Cecilia. I'm sorry. You know, we'd have to call it, like, I don't know, the water defense, because no matter what the shape of the glass is, it'll fill it. It'll just, you know, morph itself into the shape of
whatever.
How
about the chameleon?
The chameleon. You know? It doesn't really try to hide, though. Chameleons, you know, it's just...
But they change.
They change, you know, depending on its environment. That's true. So I don't know. You don't like the water defense?
No? Not particularly, no.
Okay. Let's see. This next email is titled Slap in the Face. This could be a good one. Josh from Arlington, Virginia. Let me guess. No respect. I'll read it. I saw something last night that really bothered me. I was sitting around thinking about the game on Sunday night, getting fired up. I was flipping channels and thought I would go to the NFL Network to see if they were talking Pat's Colts. When I turned in on it, it took me a second to comprehend what I was seeing. It was Sean friggin' Merriman sitting there in his suit as a guest host. He was all smiles and jokes, and the rest of the crew was serving him up softball questions so he could make himself look better and explain away his recent troubles. The guy just tested positive for steroids, and they bring him on as a guest host talking about how great he is the moment he begins serving his suspension. This seems like a joke to me. It also makes the NFL substance abuse policy look like a joke. Quote, hey kids, we don't use steroids, but if you do and get caught, you get to come on the show and we'll all talk about how great you are. I was sure this had to be an old interview, but I was floored to see that it was from within the past day or two.
Well, first let me say that Sean Merriman is great, and he's not the only one taking steroids. There's plenty of other guys who are great who are taking steroids, so that's irrelevant to me. But I will agree with him. I saw the exact same thing, and I was a little surprised. You know, the guy just got suspended for taking an illegal substance, and then he's on the NFL Network. I thought first, I said, is that Sean Merriman?
Yeah, if you're suspended from playing,
you should be
suspended from the
right.
league's network
exactly.
for the same amount of time.
That was
at least.
A joke.
Yeah.
He's right. That is a big joke.
Yeah, it's a good point, Josh. He says, P.S., please stop predicting a Patriots blowout on Sunday. Last time you guys did that in a big game, and I called you on it, it was against the Donkeys, and look what happened.
Said it was going to be 38-34.
It's the Broncos.
No, I said this game's going to be 38-34. If that's a blowout.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's saying blowout. Who's saying blowout?
I think Andy thinks they're going to win relatively easy.
Okay, yeah. Aaron from Newton. I was just looking at the matchups of the upcoming Colts-Patriots game, and I have come to the conclusion that Roosevelt Colvin is going to have his biggest game as a Patriot so far. He played a lot better in the Minnesota game, and I think Manning will have trouble finding people open, giving Colvin time to cause mayhem in the backfield. Also, I was wondering if you agree that when Eugene Wilson returns, he will not get his job back from Hawkins. The secondary seems to play a lot better with Hawkins in there. Also, we have to give props to Chad Scott, who has played way better than anyone expected.
Yeah, as Paul pointed out yesterday, when Wilson came back the last time, the secondary seemed to be playing well, and he still started. So I would guess he starts when he's healthy.
I might agree with Aaron. I
agree they play better without him. But for some reason, Belichick likes to have Wilson on the field.
Well, I think Hawkins will be maybe the starting safety, but I think in the nickel, I think the first person off the bench, if he's healthy, will be Wilson, because he's a corner and a safety, and that's how they beat the Colts before. It was, you know, a lot of what you saw last time in the playoffs, Harrison would actually line up on the line of scrimmage as the corner. He'd be the guy that would knock the guy off his route, and then they'd switch up, and Wilson would take the guy once he came out past 5 yards. And then, you know, Harrison would kind of fade into the middle, kind of, you know, take that middle area like a strong safety would. So it was interesting what they did. They used Harrison to be the guy that would knock Wayne or, you know, Marvin Harrison off the route early. So it was a different thing. I'd never seen it before, but, you know, they could do the same thing.
Although I should say, what did Colvin do?
In that game?
Against Minnesota. I don't remember him having a big game.
No, not necessarily.
It was Bantakane who had a lot of the pass rush. And
yeah.
you know, the garbage man Green had a...
Garbage Green?
Yeah, had a, but, I don't really remember Colvin standing out in that game. I don't know if they thought it was Banta Kane, maybe.
Yeah. In fact, he had that one play where he bounced off Johnson. Yeah. He was a sure sack, and it ended up, you know, it didn't result in points, the drive, but it did extend the
extended
drive.
Extended the drive.
Yeah. Sean from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. I know the media is in love with us, and everyone thinks we will walk out of Sunday night with a win, but something concerns me a bit. Belichick is usually a little more looser than he's been in the past. I don't know if his personal things going on in his life is wearing him down, or he is pretty concerned that the Colts have an advantage this week. I'm not sure how to take him this week, and I know it's hard to tell, but Belichick is more serious this week than, say, some of the Super Bowl press briefings. I'm done picking against the Pats. I picked against them twice, and they proved me wrong. So I say Pats 28, Colts 24. I do see the passing game continue on the upswing it has been. I think that early in the week, there's no doubt that Belichick was upset with the media over the coverage of the personal stuff. So I think that had everything to do with it.
And also, I think he doesn't want people to start buying into how great they are, because I think he knows that Minnesota was a joke team, and that I think he knew he had them before they stepped on the field, and that this team may not be as great as everyone's touting them right now, and he doesn't want that everyone reading their press clippings and thinking this is, you know, we're going to go 15-1 here.
Right. Okay, Garrett, it's 12:48. Let's take a break.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
...or renovate the bathroom...
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
...or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Breaks a tackle. Drives it upfield. To the 10. To the 5. Touchdown. Benjamin Watson.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots, signed by Benjamin Watson, free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to the first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
Okay, back here at PFW in progress. We're having a lot of fun getting ready for the Colts game Sunday night. Oh, man, am I jacked up. I am so jacked
good
up.
As it gets.
I really do get nervous before these games. I get butterflies.
I've had so much
you know,
fun.
And it's almost like, you know, how you know you played football. It's like you don't really get rid of those butterflies until the first hit. It's the same way. I don't get rid of those butterflies until after the Patriots' first drive.
Well, I'm looking for redemption for last year because this, you know, this was the biggest game last year, and I was all remember how excited I was, and then the Patriots got blown out. So
what a dud! They just couldn't do anything.
No, so I'm looking for revenge.
Yeah, and you know, you forget about it because you don't ever want to use injuries as an excuse.
That's not the same team. But they were beat up and they had bad players.
They weren't
on
the same team. I think. They had yet to make the. Had they made the switch to Vrabel inside yet? I don't think so.
No, it was Brown and Brewski.
Yeah,
and that was Starks' last game.
Right. So, this is a very, very different team than they were last year. So I doubt you'll see that type of performance out of the Patriots.
Right. Looking back on it now, I mean, there was. You don't ever want to doubt the Patriots when they play the Colts, but now that we've had a year to look at it, they had no shot last year. I mean, with the guys they had in there, looking at it a year, they had no chance to stop that offensive machine. Yep. It'll be totally different this time.
Webradio@patriots.com is email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. I'm in the market, perhaps, for a new car.
Yep.
If anyone knows of anything under $30,000, let me know. I have a limited budget.
If anyone knows of anything good under $1,000, let me know.
Sean, Miami, Florida, I'm still trying to figure Roosevelt COVID out. Sometimes he can be flying around making plays, looking everything like the free agent from Chicago they signed in 03. Most of the time, however, he just seems to vanish in games and his name is rarely mentioned. Is it a lack of desire? Was he never that good in the first place? Has he never come back fully from that hip injury years ago? I don't know what his cap hit would be, but for the salary the guy makes, shouldn't they think about trying to replace him with somebody a little more productive? His signing bonus has been spread out pretty good by now over the years. Maybe there are no better options out there this year or next, but I think he has given enough opportunities. He has been given enough opportunities.
Well, I don't think it's a lack of desire. I think he was as good as he was billed. In my fantasy column that I used to write, when the Patriots signed him, I predicted he would win Defensive Player of the Year. That's how highly I thought of him in his system. It hasn't turned out the way that everyone thought it would.
The hip injury was devastating.
Yeah. So that could probably has something to do with it. But you're right. It's been a couple of years now. He should be at least rushing the quarterback a little bit better than he has been.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he started the season out the first two games like a house on
fire. Yeah, it looked like he was going to go to the Pro Bowl.
So we'll see what happens. You know, so much of it is what their role is in the game.
Yeah.
And that's what Belichick asks of these players.
But his is usually to get to the quarterback. He doesn't cover as much as Vrabel does. So sometimes you won't hear Vrabel because he's dropping back. Colvin usually rushes the passer.
All right, let's see. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Elgidio from Nicaragua writes in. Well, just all over the world people are. It's great. This internet thing is really...
It's really taken off.
Thank you, Al Gore.
I think it's going to stick around for a while.
Just curious about Marquise Hill, guys. I'm an LSU grad who saw him play so well for the Tigers, but I guess that success is not parlayed to the Pats. Is he still on the roster? Does he ever play? Will he be let go? My friend in Arizona who went to FSU likes to goad me because they The pick right after Hill in the draft was Darnell Dockett, who has been a great player for the Cards. Any info you can give me is great. I listen to your show whenever I can here in Blue Fields, Nicaragua. Baseball, unfortunately, is the big sport here. Have a great day.
Yeah, when, next time you write in, what the heck are you doing in Nicaragua? Like, I always wonder what people are doing in countries like
that. Maybe he was born there.
No, he said he went to LSU, though.
That doesn't mean that a lot of people come into the country and go to school.
But I want to know what he's doing there.
Okay.
Like, what are you doing for, like, a job and stuff is what I'm asking. All I'm not saying, like, you shouldn't be living in Nicaragua. I'm just curious what you do when you do live in Nicaragua.
Okay. I have the same thing about people who live in Rhode Island. I have no idea what they do.
Well, for Marquise Hill, yeah, it's not looking good. I mean, anybody with that size, that kind of frame, should have been on the field by now. And he's getting passed by people like Mike Wright, and it's not good.
Yeah, Mike Wright's kind of simmered down a little bit.
But he plays more than Marquise Hill.
Does,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Let's see. PJ says the game is just 2 days away, and I can't wait. I have a feeling that the Pats' running game is going to force the Colts' safeties up toward the line of scrimmage, which will allow for Chad Jackson's breakout game. Every week you say it's Chad Jackson. Eventually we're going to be right, you know. I predict 2 long touchdowns for Jackson off of play action. What do you guys think? Also, I wrote in yesterday about where I should go to eat, and Fred said he needed more info. Well, here it is. I'm staying in Franklin. I'm sorry about that. And I am close enough to Boston to shoot over there. I don't want to go to a steakhouse. I can get steak here. I want a good place that has food that New England specializes in. If you were coming to Philly, I would send you to Tony Luke's or Pat's Steaks for great cheesesteak. Give me something like that for your area. Also, by my count, I am number 3 in the Tom Casale fan club. We Paisanos need to stick together. Tom, I love your rant, so I have one question for you. What would you do if Bill Polian came up to you in the press box and slapped you right in the face?
I go in, I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
So Bill Polian comes up to you, goes, I've heard you on Patriots.com radio, and slaps you in the face. What do you do?
Well, I'd grab him by, you always got to grab the hair. You want to get the back of the hair? And then I'd
take, but it would come off in his case.
And then I would headbutt him in the face, and then I would start biting him right in the face. And then after I kicked the crap out of him, I'd wipe the blood from my mouth and just, like, toss it on him. That's what I do.
You start biting him. What are you, Hannibal Lecter?
That's what sometimes when I get in fights, I start biting people in the face. You never know what I'm going to do.
Oh, that's good. I love it. I love it. You can get germs that way, though.
I don't know. If that guy ever slapped me in the face, this job would mean nothing. I would go off on a rampage like you've never seen before.
And the crass would give you a bonus.
What was the guy's first question?
Oh, geez, I forgot. let's see. Oh, where do I send him to eat?
Oh, yeah, I really don't know too many good places here, so you'd have to.
Well, he's looking for authentic New England food, right. I take it. Which
would be like seafood?
Well, you know, really authentic New England food is like corn on the cob and turkey. But, you know, I'm not going to send you a place like that. You know, legal seafood is one of the best seafood restaurants around. But they're not just New England. They're all over the place now. So it's not really authentic.
There's one in Braintree, right?
Yeah, they're all over. There's one in the South Shore Mall, which is not far away from Franklin. Just trying to think.
Gary, you know good places to eat.
Well, I live in Cambridge, so there's a lot of them, but it's not close to Franklin.
Yeah, I mean, there's legal seafoods all over the place. Boston, Braintree, Natick on Route 9. Which isn't too far from Franklin.
Make your way into Faneuil Hall, go to Durgan Park.
Yeah, Durgan Park is good, overpriced, but, you know, you get some authentic New England food at Durgan Park. The Union Oyster House, which is also in Faneuil Hall, is kind of a cool place because the building itself is like over 200 years old. So you're kind of sitting in an authentic New England house. Again, these are all in Faneuil Hall. Let's see, Turner Fisheries, which is in the Back Bay. It's right next to the Palm Restaurant. That's a lot of people think that's as good, if not better, for the money than legal seafood. Skipjacks. There's a couple Skipjacks around. Check that out. I mean, if you can't go wrong if you go to legal seafood. You know, you can't go wrong. And it started.
Well, you better go quick. I heard seafood was going to be gone in 50 years.
It started in Brighton, Mass. So it is, you know, an original New England restaurant. But like I said, they're in New York now. They're in Washington D.C. I think there's one in. So it's now a chain.
Hey, Emerald, put a cap on it. Did you hear that report that came out about the seafood? By 2048, there'll be no more seafood.
No more at all?
Because of all the overfishing and all that stuff.
I'm
not buying it for a second. You know why? A lot of the stuff you buy in the stores are in farms. Like all those things, they're in fish farms now.
Yeah.
So I think it's environmentalists trying to get us all in an uproar.
Well, the other thing, you know, the whole global warming. They say, like, you know, in 50 years, if global warming continues, the climate of New England will be that of Florida. I say bring it on.
I say who cares? I'll be dead.
Yeah.
I don't care what happens when I'm dead.
Well, we're supposed to be worried about our children.
I don't care about them.
Yeah, let them worry about it. We're more worried about...
Who knows if I'll even like my children, so who cares?
We're more worried about Bill Polian coming up and slapping Tom in the face. Oh, man, would I pay to see that. So you'd bite him.
Oh, yeah, right in the face. That's what you do. You stun them first.
Right. Well, the headbutt.
If you're fighting someone who can fight, you try to pull their shirt over their head like a hockey thing, so they can't use their arms. Then you start punching them in the face. But Bill Polian would be no challenge. So I would just headbutt him, then bite him in the face.
Okay. Split his nose open.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Then spit the blood right on him.
Okay. Oh God. Donaldo Vega. From Punta del Este, Uruguay.
Wow.
Uruguay. Wow. A lot of South American emails in Central America. It's pretty good.
I'd put a pin in the board if I knew where the hell it was.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Hope all is well. I remember Pat's Colts games from years back, and Edrin James was usually very productive. I think that the key... You really bite him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's something. I think the key to winning Sunday night will be stopping the run. Manning feeds off play action. If you can get him in third and long, you can get pressure on him. Easier said than done, I know. Joseph Addai looks to be getting better every week. I know you guys were not high on him coming out of the draft, but he has looked good to me. Do you agree with my thinking? Oh, and by the way, tell Tom he can come down here to Punta del Este. I know lots of 17-year-old girls who would really go for a PFW writer. Age here is not a concern.
Young girls.
Fred, you can come too, but what happens in Este stays in Este. Don't bring Andy if he's just going to complain the whole time. Okay, got to go. You guys are the best. Good.
I got a whole summer of nothing to do. I mean, I'm getting married, but who cares about that? I'll blow that off for a 17-year-old girl anytime.
Sure. Boy, biting people. Oh, man. This is really turning ugly here. Web radio at Patreon.
So what did he say at the beginning? These people keep asking questions, and then you...
Well, we just focus on the good stuff. Let's see. What did he say?
Oh, about the die. No, he's right. Me and Andy were kind of upset that he went to the Colts because we said before the draft to each other, there's one team where he might be able to succeed, and that's the Colts. And he has looked good.
Well, I think Peyton Manning makes him better because you're so focused on Manning that the holes are going to open up.
The thing about Addai, and I even noticed it against the Broncos a little bit, is he doesn't have that Maroney open field kind of running where he can make people. He's kind of straight ahead. So he gets what he gets. He's got good speed, but once you get to him, that's pretty much the end of
the
run.
I know the Cardinals' offensive line is horrible, but was Edrin James a little better because he was with Manning than he really is?
He's a good player. I mean, the edge is good. I'm sure he took advantage of playing in the Colts offense. Any running back would. But the edge, he's a good player. I mean, I think the first playoff game here where Harrison got the interception in the end zone on the opening drive, they were running the ball down their throat, and Dungy took a lot of heat for this. It was second and two, and they threw two straight passes, and Harrison picked it off. I thought they misused Edge in that game because he started off fast, and then they kind of, and Belichick, I think, it's like I said before, he knows what you're like, he knows that they won't stick with the run. For some reason, he knows it, and he's right, and it works out.
Yeah, it's true.
But Addai has looked good.
Craig from Ithaca here. That's where my wife went to school.
And that's my favorite place on earth.
Yeah, she went to school at
Ithaca
College.
I've had plenty of young girls there.
Oh, Jesus. You got to get arrested.
I like young girls.
You may have talked about this earlier in the week, but what was up with Dillon's last play in the Minnesota game? It was about 5:30 left in the third quarter. He caught a pass, ran up the middle for a good gain of 27 yards. Then he jumps up and chucks the ball across the field. Probably should have gotten a delay of game penalty, and since it was still the third quarter, the game wasn't sealed up. I was wondering if that action was why he didn't see him the rest of the way, and I also wonder if we are going to see Maroney start Sunday night because of it as well.
I don't know what that was all about. It should have been a flag for certain, because you can't throw the ball across the field like that. It was interesting, though. We didn't see him again. I don't know. It's maybe just because they didn't run the ball. I actually think you're going to see a lot of Corey Dillon Sunday night. I think they've been saving him. Now you got the Colts and Jets coming up, cold weather, teams that can't stop the run. I think this is what they've been saving Dillon for. You're still not going to get your 1,000 yards. You're still not going to get your jersey that you guys bet me on. But I think you'll have two back-to-back good games here coming up.
Okay. Let's see. I think that Dillon, we speculated that he might have been still mad about the bottle that was thrown at who was it thrown at?
Watson.
Yeah. So maybe he was just mad.
All the people like to write in, you know, to tell us when they're, where's all the people who said Dillon was going to rush for 1,500 yards? Remember all those emails that kept coming in and in and in? Where's those people?
Shane in Miami, I know you guys don't like talking about the future, but I have a concern about the secondary. I am taking it for granted that Asante Samuel will be leaving another team for another team in free agency. He is good, not great, but good cornerbacks seem to make great money. I can't see the Pats re-signing him. So who will replace him? Ellis Hobbs is not developing quickly enough. Chad Scott is too old. Willie Andrews is a special teamer. Eugene Wilson has underachieved since his rookie year. Who will they find or draft? It's not like they grow on trees like wide receivers. Good corners are hard to find. How do you think the Pats will approach this problem? I don't want to see another Dwayne Stark solution, if you know what I mean.
Well, the replacement, if Samuel were to leave, is not on this team, probably. They'll probably either bring someone in via free agency or through the draft. So expect a couple of new corners on this team next year. I really don't know who the free agents are. I haven't looked into that yet. It's stuff we do in the off season. But if Samuel leaves, you know, you got to have some. You can't have Hobbs and Chad Scott as your starting cornerbacks. You just can't.
TG and NJ, keeping along the secondary talk, he says, how important is the defensive back play in this game? Seems the Patriots need to execute a complete game in order to get this one. Everybody at every position needs to have a solid game. Is there any chance at all the Patriots could run all over them? So first is asking, how important is defensive back play? It's critical.
It's huge. And I think the tackling's big. The one thing about the Patriots is they haven't tackled well this year. When receivers have gotten in the open field in the Jets game, in the Broncos game, even in the Vikings game, guys were breaking the short passes. They've taken them further than they should because of missed tackles. So tackling is very important in this game.
And, of course, we all think that there is a chance that the Patriots could run all over, to what Denver did.
I just don't know if you're giving up 167 yards a game or whatever it is that they're giving up, how that changes in a week.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, where is this run defense going to come from?
Right.
I just don't see it happening.
Especially against the Patriots. It's not like the starting cornerback for the Patriots is you know, Brady Coyle, whatever. What's his name over there? Spurgeon Wynn or somebody like that.
Oh.
And this is Tom Brady we're talking about. So, yeah, you want to gear up to stop the run, put 8-9 in the box, he's going to burn you. So, you know, it's not like they don't have an alternative, the Patriots.
Right.
If they do, you know, because I'm under the belief that if any team, if that's all they had to do was stop the run, can stop the run. You know, you could just put guys up there. And you've got just more guys that they can block.
Well, and it was working at the beginning of the year when Brady and his receivers weren't quite on the same page.
Yeah.
But now that they've played a few games together, now bringing up those eight guys isn't working out anymore.
On any given running play, you have two extra guys on defense than they have on offense.
Right. Oh,
but the question is, if you do that, then you're very susceptible to the pass, and especially against a team like the Patriots, as they showed last week.
And as someone asked about Chad Jackson, that's what I wanted to answer. He wasn't really on the field that much in Minnesota. He played a couple of plays.
Not much.
He's I got to tell you, right now, he's down the depth chart at receiver. So expecting he might go long a couple times and be open, and his prediction may be right. But that's basically what he does at this point. The other guys have kind of stepped up ahead of him. So I wouldn't expect to see Chad Jackson catching 7-8 balls a game anytime soon.
Let's see. TG also says, what's the weather forecast, by the way? Do you think it is a factor if it's cold? It is supposed to be in
low
the 20s.
30. Oh,
I've heard 20s now.
Yeah, 26 degrees.
Yeah. So precipitation last time we checked was 20%. That could
doesn't look like it's going to rain, but it's going to be mighty cold out.
Tom, good observation on hunting. Never thought of it that way. Deer hunters sit outside in the cold waiting to shoot some dumb animal that Fred easily wastes with his sheep without trying.
You know what I like about hunters? They're in there like four guys are sitting in the woods for 6 hours making cracks about gay people.
That's good. That's good. Shannon, the guy.
The guy.
Please tell me the weather out there is taking a turn for the worse. I really hope it's 30 degrees and snowing like the Dickens come Sunday night. Those dome cozy Colts will be shivering and completely psyched out, namely number 18, whose sight of his own breath turns him into the likes of an easily intimidated freshman on the first day of high school. Well, it's going to be cold.
I've seen the Colts win games easily in the cold. It's the wind.
Well, they won that big game in Denver last year. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
In the snow.
I think it was a Sunday night
game. Sunday night game in the snow.
Yeah.
It's not really the cold. It's the wind. Because once it's windy, you've totally taken the Colts' passing game and you've hindered it, and then they have to rely on the running game, their defense. That's not their game. So if it's cold and not windy,
I mean, these guys, they got the hand warmers in the front.
And anybody
they
who
get on the sideline, they got the heaters. It's not that
anyone
bad.
Who thinks Marvin Harrison can't catch in the cold. I mean, come on.
Like you said, ask any coach. The biggest weather factor that affects a game is wind.
Unless it's Joe Theismann.
Right.
And it doesn't matter.
Speaking of high school, Tom, please stay away from the 17 and 18-year-olds already. No, they shouldn't be legal when they get their license. Give them a shot on at least getting to college first. How come I picture your fiancé being 4'11 and Asian?
No, that's what I want her to be.
Anyway, per your request, Tom, I have attached two pictures of my girl.
No, there is no Oriental bikini
pictures. I'm not going to go that far. Besides, her brother fights in the UFC and IFL. And if he caught wind, I'm out sending out bikini shots of his sister, I would more likely get choked out. The third picture I attach is one I took at the Wendy's drive-thru in Port Orchard, Washington. That is actually a woman. What you can't see in the photo is that there are five cars behind her. Yep, big old mama was holding up the line. I'm thinking of sending it into Leno. What do you guys think? Can't wait for the game. Pats 28, Dolts 10. So I'm going to open up this first picture. I know you can't see. Wow.
Let me get over
there.
It's
not bad.
She's hot, too.
Yeah. She's got the cowboy hat on and the little kind of top on.
Oh, hot.
So that's not too
want
bad.
To touch the hiney.
Okay. Let me open up the second one. Oh, and that's the two of them. Okay. She's about to bite his ear off.
Suck it, Trebek.
Okay, good. Well, good for you, Shannon. You got a nice-looking old lady there. And oh, my goodness. You got to see this, Tom. He's got this picture. You know those little old people scooters that people drive on? This is a lady at a Wendy's drive-thru on one of those scooters.
Who definitely
food.
Does not need a triple.
Oh, my God. That is the funniest thing I've ever seen.
What's his name, Shannon?
Yeah.
Shannon, send that picture to Leno and send your girl to me.
All right, I'm not even going to delete that. I'm going to put that over.
That's good stuff.
I'm going to put that into my inbox so I don't lose that, because the rest of the guys need to see that.
Yeah.
All right, that's good. Good, Shannon. Thank you. Let's see. Clovis is from California. He's been a Pats fan since 66. He says, just want to say thank you for all the insight. All week long, I feel like I'm right here in the Boston area instead of in the middle of Raider Nation. By the way, out here, the Patriots are truly hated by the Raider fans. I wear a Pats shirt every freaking day, and the Raider fans hate it. It absolutely kicks ass to watch these freaks get all worked up, and then I will tell them why we named our dog Tucker. They absolutely lose their nuggets. So for me, the real rivalry out here is the Pats-Raiders, and the Raiders suck, so I'm having a great time. Pats and Indy struggle early. Pats pull away in the fourth quarter with a 27-13 win. Fred and Tom Rule, go Pats. Okay, good. Thanks for that, bit, you know, Raider Nation. That's, you're taking your life into your
hands.
That's
not much of a rivalry
right
now.
I get a feeling, though, a lot of the Raider fans, I think their bark is worse than their bite. I don't think they're as nasty as they say they are.
You don't think so?
Although we did get, when we were out and, playing the Raiders, we got some things thrown at our bus and a lot of moons, a lot of middle fingers.
So why are, is their bark worse than their bite if they're throwing stuff at you?
I think that once you get close to them and you give them the headbutt and bite them in the face, I think they'll simmer right there.
I don't know. I saw a couple of those guys I don't really want to mess with.
All right, Gary, let's take another break. We'll be right back.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack Sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots Brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack Sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom...
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Census taker once tried to test me. I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, wait. Was he a great big fat person?
Paul Perillo.
Why don't you ask me about Buffalo Bill?
You should come here. You can do this damn radio show.
Buffalo Bill. What a naughty boy he is. Do you know why he's called Buffalo Bill? Please tell me.
Very excited to be a Dallas Cowboy.
And Andy. And Andy?
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
Andy Hart.
Now it places the lotion in the basket. It places the lotion in the basket.
What the f***?
explosion in the basket.
Some guy named Tom.
Oh, he's a monster. Pure psychopath. So rare to capture one alive. From a research point of view, our most prized asset.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Was she a large girl?
Yes.
Big through the hips? Romy? What else?
She had an object deliberately inserted into her throat.
PFW in progress.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner.
All right. Wow, that's a new one. Hannibal Lecter for Tom.
That was a good one.
Yeah. That was a creepy movie. You ever see that movie?
What do you think?
Did you see it in the theater or on TV?
I've seen it on TV 150 times.
It's not the same.
Yeah, well, it's still one of the scariest movies of all time.
I know, but it's even scarier in the theater.
That just goes to show you what good writing does. Hannibal Lecter, what's his name? The actor.
I don't know. I forget.
Gary, what's his name?
Anthony
Hopkins.
He was only in the movie for 12 minutes.
Is that right?
Yeah, and that's how scary. Good writing and good acting, that's what it can do for you. 12 minutes, and that's all you think about are the parts that he was in.
I mean, the scene when he escaped from that cell and, you know, he took the face off that guy. Yeah.
That's one of the best movies of all time.
Oh, so scary, though.
You don't get movies like that anymore because they're too busy with their special effects and all this crazy garbage that they got out now.
Well, okay, so that's your new name. Hannibal. Hannibal Casale. Oh, boy. All right, let's see. Phil from Austin writes in, webradio at patriots.com. He says, how's this for a comparison? Manning equals Wilt Chamberlain, the best player of his generation at his position. Brady equals Bill Russell, the best teammate and leader of the best team of his generation. I like it.
That's a good comparison.
It is. Question, how many of Peyton Manning's teammates have you ever seen in any of his commercials? Okay.
I don't think his teammates have a problem with him. I mean, I know Wayne and Harrison love him.
Why can't I be the director?
He always takes care of his offensive line. I know he buys him stuff. I don't know. The only thing I would say that they have a problem with
Well, he did say the thing last year after the playoffs about the blocking problems that they had.
Right. He shouldn't have said that. But I don't think he's really a guy that people don't like. He seems to be a pretty likable guy.
I think he's a good guy.
Him and Brady are like best friends.
like a guy like Joey Porter.
Yeah.
I can't stand him.
Right.
I can't stand that guy. You know, I don't think he's a good teammate. I think he hurts his team, Joey Porter does, with his mouth. Phil also wants to know how the field looks. Field looks great. The new sod's down there. You can hardly tell the difference now. You know, so I think a lot of people will be pleasantly surprised at how the field looks for a Sunday.
I haven't played here in like 6 weeks.
I know.
I can't even – it seems so long since the last time we played here.
Well, we got two at home, then it goes road, home, and then
Tom Casale luck. The 1 week we're on the road is Michigan, Ohio State.
What are you going to do about that?
Well, how far is Green Bay from here, flight? 2 hours?
Yeah, two and a half. Yeah,
two and a half's no good.
Well,
I don't know.
What I'm thinking is, you know, they have this thing called Slingshot. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, that's what Felger has.
Yeah, so what you can do, it talks to your TV at home.
Right.
So you DVR the game, and then when you get home, you watch the entire game on your laptop. When you get to the hotel.
But the game's still going to be going on. That's going to be impossible.
See, watch it in progress. It's TiVo. It's DVR. You have a DVR, right?
Well, I'm going to tape the game, but I'm just saying it's not going to be. Basically, what I'm saying is we're home for four out of the next five weeks. And
it takes a little bit of effort. But on my TV, you can actually watch the game while the plane's in the air. You just got to keep changing channels because as you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. So problem solved.
I'll give you my TV. It's just.
I might buy one of those. So where'd you get it?
Radio Shack.
Maybe another place that has them, because I don't go to Radio Shack. Me and them, we had a problem years back. I got banned.
Right, I got to hear about this. What happened?
I bought this phone. Yeah. Expensive phone, right?
From Radio Shack.
Yeah. New tech type of phone, you know, for your house. Get it home, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I bring it back. They won't take it back. They said they got to send it back to the company.
Like, they couldn't just exchange it?
No, because I had it for like a day or something. So they fixed it. They gave it back to me. It worked for like 2 weeks. I brought it back. So they had to do the same thing. Fixed it, brought it back. A month later, same thing. They said, well, no, we have to do it 3 times before we can give you a new phone. I said, oh, really? I said, I don't want you to have it. So I went back home. I took a baseball bat. I smashed it to pieces. I came back in, and I threw it down on the floor, and I said, here, take your effing phone. I'm never coming back here again.
Oh, all right. So, well, now, what are we buying again? Oh, I think Target.
Target has them?
Target will probably have them. Walmart. Oh,
what's a good brand?
I don't. Casio.
Casio.
That's a nice little
right.
one. Maybe Sanyo, maybe. The one I have is just a Radio Shack. It works pretty well, though.
Yeah, it works okay.
I mean, obviously, you want to get as big a screen as you can without having the thing be that big.
Right.
You know? When I bought mine, geez, it was. God, I'm still working in Boston, so it was at least 7-8 years ago. You know, but now they've come a long way, and they're actually even better.
All right, that's something I need to get.
Yeah, so you're gonna spend about $100 for a good one, $100-$150.
I use it as my Christmas gift.
Yeah, but if you work at it, you know, you can get the picture in. It'll stay in for about 15-20 minutes, and then you have to find a new channel because you're in a new state.
Basically. Oh, okay.
You know, Gil Santos was watching his on the way home.
Oh, all
from
right.
The last game, not the last game, but the game before that. So, you know, it can be done. You know, we're on the charter, so it's not like those other flights where they make you turn everything off.
Oh, yeah, we got free reign. We can do whatever we want.
I don't even wear my seatbelt.
Whoa, Fred is a madman.
All right. Eric in Manchester. So you and Radio Shack.
No, I haven't been in there in years. I don't even know what they have.
You're done with them.
After that crap, yeah, I was all done.
That is ridiculous. They should have just given you a new phone right on the
something
spot.
Something they had to repair it 3 times, and after 3 times they could and I just said
that's
enough's
crap.
Enough.
Go tell them to repair it and sell it to somebody else. I want a new phone.
I was arguing with them, and then they say, "Well, we just work here," so I just destroyed the thing and gave it to them. At least I felt better. I was out $120.
I know you're after money though. That's
you know me. I don't think about that until after I've done it.
Right.
Then I had no phone.
All right. Eric in Manchester again. Why the Patriots will win. Colts defense will prepare for which Pats offense? What we saw Monday? What we saw versus Cincy? Colts can't stop Maroney and Dillon. Colts offense reads tendencies. Pats D is impossible to read. Belichick 8-2 versus the Colts. Those are all reasons why if the Patriots win.
I just want to reel people in a little bit, though. What you saw against Minnesota, you probably won't see against another team again this year because whatever Minnesota was doing on defense, I don't know if I've ever seen it. Playing 3 linebackers against a 4-5 wide set, I've just never really seen that before. So you won't see that. So while I think the Patriots will have success throwing the football, I think it'll be more of that efficient success. I don't think it's going to be 380 yards in the air type success.
We can't figure out if Childress's call, the head coach of the Vikings, or if he's just covering the butt of his defensive coordinator, but it was unexplainable or inexplicable.
And it'll be interesting to see the next time they play a real good passing team, if you see more nickel and dime, if they change it up, or if they're just going to keep doing the same thing.
I mean, I think they were just so afraid that if they went into a nickel or dime, Patriots would just run the ball. And they didn't want to lose that standing of being the best rushing defense.
When you got two big linebackers and 2 big defensive tackles, that should allow you to do more of that kind of stuff because you don't have to worry about it.
Right. I don't know. Gabe from Trevose, Pennsylvania. I see the usual suspects on the injury report, but then there are a number of players with stuff like lower leg, hand, thigh, etc. 17 players in all. Then Polian puts up 17 of his own with stuff like right groin, abdomen, lower back. Like groin isn't enough. Now we have to get specific. So then Bill raises with 4 more, and Polian goes all in with 18. What the hell? Are we playing Texas Hold'em with the injury report? I know Belichick hates the new injury report rules and tries to make a weekly mockery of it, and these two teams are very competitive with each other, but don't you think this is a little ridiculous?
I think it's a mockery. I think that was a good word to use.
So, you know, we talked about it early. By the way, Gabe says Pats 27, Colts 24, and no, Adam will not make a game-winning kick here. Well, not if the Pats win, he can't. But, we talked about it earlier. It is a mockery, both teams doing it. And if you're at the league office, you know, you're they're making a mockery of your rules without breaking the rules.
Right.
So what do you do now?
I don't know what you do. Who knows?
You know? You can't, as a league, say, well, these guys aren't questionable.
Although I should say that every time someone takes a poke at the league, I'm behind it.
So, okay.
If they're going to make stupid rules, don't complain when people take advantage of them. I don't think anything – I think the injury report is stupid, but I don't think that anything that Belichick does is wrong because he's doing it within the rules. So if those are the rules, those are the rules.
That's absolutely right. That's what I'm saying. They're making a mockery of it without breaking the rules. You know, so it'll be interesting if, again, this off season, the competition committee or whoever
now,
it is.
Now, Fred, they don't have time for stuff like that. They're too busy worried about end zone celebrations and things that don't matter to the game.
Right. Let's see. Bob writes in, you fellows are a fount of knowledge. In your estimation of the NFL, in your estimation, if the NFL is such a copycat league, why don't more coaches adopt Belichick's philosophy of morphing his offense and defense each week? You mentioned personnel. If it is personnel, why don't more organizations implement a long-term system to acquire personnel that would allow this morphing to occur each week? Perhaps it is arrogance and stubbornness. Take Brad Childress. This is why I know my system works. We knew what they were going to do. My players didn't play that well. End of story. On the John Kerry theme, are head coaches dumber and more arrogant than the general population, hitting their head and allowing their players to hit their heads against the wall without apology?
Manny Ortiz.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with
first of all, a lot of
coaches aren't as smart
exactly,
as Belichick.
And I'm going to say Bill Walsh was a very smart man. And I'm sure in a lot of ways his offense was complicated, but in a lot of ways it was very simple. They ran similar routes. If they were there, they kept running them and running them and running them. And I'll go back to what Red Auerbach said. You know, right today they got all these assistant coaches doing this and that. And he said at the end of a game, he would just light up a cigar when the game was in hand because it was time to relax. Now you see teams up by 20. The coaches are running around, calling timeouts. Give me a break. You know what I'm saying? They make this thing way too complicated. And I think while Belichick's systems are complicated, he actually makes the game is simple. He finds weaknesses. He exploits them. That's what the game's about.
Right.
And I think he does it better than anybody.
And, you know, as many coaches have said about Belichick, before each game he gives us a couple things he wants us to do. And if we do them, we usually win.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. The schemes, the playbook might be thick. The defensive playbook might be thick. But at the end of the day, once you get those concepts down, it becomes a very simple game.
Right.
You know, and they pick players that are willing to sacrifice personal statistics for roles. You know, someday in some games, you know, Maroney might have a big role. In another game, he might not. Same with the other side of the ball. Some games, Ty Warren might have a role because of a matchup. In another game, and they've got to be willing to play within that role. And, you know, I will say this, though. If he hadn't been successful in year number two, and three.
Right. You have to be winning.
You have to be winning because this is.
This grows, and I'll go back a couple years. The year that the Cowboys went 6-10 after they made the playoffs, they gave up in a lot of those games. And I said to my father, I said, when would you ever think you'd see guys give up on Bill Parcells? They simply weren't buying into what he was selling. And what happened the next year? Huge turnover. Those guys that weren't buying, they were gone.
Yep.
And because when you're not winning, people don't want to hear it. You know what I mean? So as long as the Patriots keep winning, and that's part of the problem, was like it would be hard for a team like San Francisco to instill the, well, you know, don't worry about the money.
Right.
Don't worry about all the personal stuff. Come in here for the team. It's hard for them to sell that because they haven't won in a while.
Right, right. So even with Belichick, you still got to win because his system, you know, these guys are still pro athletes. They still have huge egos. Even the guys on the Patriots, you know, Mike Vrabels and all the team guys, Tom Brady's, they got big egos.
Yeah.
And they want to win. And if you don't win after a while, I don't care what you're selling. They're going
to
stop buying it. You know, it's just the way it is. But, you know, that said, put Belichick's system and his coaching up against other teams, and I think it's a better system. But, you know, hey, Belichick's the one that makes it go.
Yep.
The guy is just phenomenal at game planning, evaluating teams, finding their weaknesses, and then being able to communicate what he wants the players to do he's the master.
And I think an interesting thing to watch is the closest person to Belichick is probably Mangini. So it'll be interesting to see in 4 or 5 years if he has a similar system in place.
Well, Saban also.
Yeah, but I don't think they're exactly the same. Like, I don't see Saban. I think Mangini's the closest that we'll get to, like, Belichick. He acts like him. He has press conferences like him. He coaches like him. See, I think Saban is similar to Belichick in ways, but I think Mangini is almost exactly like Belichick.
Hey, what do you think about all this rumors now that Saban's not happy in Miami? And that Michigan State is going to make a hard run to bring Saban back to college?
See ya.
Yeah. Would you go if you were Saban?
I think that college coaches, the NFL, is a lot different than coaching in college. And the one I knew who would fail was Steve Spurrier, because Steve Spurrier likes to play golf. He likes to relax. And NFL coaches will tell you they work 20, 22 hours a day. That's not Steve Spurrier's gig. So maybe after 2 years, it's worn on Nick Saban a little bit, and he's thinking, you know, I could probably be a good NFL coach if I stick it out, but I know I can be a great college coach, and I don't have to put in as many hours, as much time. So I think that's why you see so few, because Jimmy Johnson was one of those guys. I mean, he'd stay up for 6 days straight. He actually was made for the NFL. He just coached in college. Right. But those guys are few and far between. It's hard to make that transition. And if Saban's unhappy, you know, I think you go back to college, you win a bunch of games, everyone loves you, and you don't have to put up with all this crap. Yeah, he doesn't look happy there.
I see a lot of similarities in what Saban's doing this first time around as NFL head coach and what Belichick did with the Browns. I mean, you know, you come in, you know, now the difference is Belichick already had a pretty good reputation in the pros as a coordinator, you know, more than pretty good, stellar, you know, so we had that going for him. But, you know, you come in and you know how Belichick is. I mean, if you think he was cantankerous now, you should have seen back in the Cleveland days, you know, he was really,
he's actually friendly now.
Yeah. He was ornery and, you know, you got to keep winning. You know, they did get to the playoffs 1 year and actually beat the Patriots in the first round that year. But, you know, it's tough. And then the pressure mounts and you're still a first-time head coach and you haven't done anything yet. And, you know, knowing the type of team that Belichick, it just got too much. And then you got an owner like Modell and that thing and the Testaverde thing with Kozar, you know, that thing just went spiraling downhill. You know, but he got a second chance. I think Saban's a lot like that. I think, you know, he's just so strong-willed. You know, he knows he's a good coach.
Right.
You know, but the rest of the world doesn't believe it until you win a Super Bowl. So it's the same type of pressure. The question is, he doesn't have that coordinator background to really fall back on. You know, so if he goes back to college, will he ever get a second chance in the pros? I don't know.
Will he want one?
And if it doesn't work in Miami, would he be willing to be a coordinator in the pros?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either, you know?
I mean, I just, like, I heard Butch Davis talking once, and he just said, you know, to be honest, coaching in college is just more enjoyable. And I think for a lot of guys it is, because, like I said, I mean, Gruden, what's he wake up at, 2 o'clock in the morning?
Well, he's always done
that. I'm just saying, but these guys, I mean, well, how many hours a day do you think Belichick sleeps?
Oh, I know.
You know what I'm saying? These guys are constantly, constantly going. And I'm not saying college coaching is easy, but if you ask any of them, the NFL is a whole different kind of animal when you get to this level, because you have to put your entire life on the line. That's why so many of them are divorced.
I know.
How can you have a family and a wife when you're working 20 hours a day?
It's hard. Yeah, I mean, all the good ones. You know, Belichick got divorced. Parcells got divorced. You know, go right on down the line. There's a lot of, you know, it's a tough profession. And, you know, the 49ers used to, you know, try to do everything they could when, you know, during draft time and, you know, times where they knew that the coaches were going to be working late. They would send flowers home to the wives and everything on behalf of the team just to keep them, keep them thinking that we haven't forgotten about you, you know. But it's a tough, tough life. And you think it's tough being a coach. Try being one of those scouts.
Oh, man.
They get paid nothing, and they're never at home.
They're on the road like 300 and some days a week or a year. It's crazy.
Yeah. Living out of – and it's not like they're in New York, Chicago, Atlanta,
No, they're in like
LA.
Tacoma, Washington,
exactly.
In like a Super 8.
Right, you know. So
a lot of people always say they want to be scouts, but – you know, I was one of those people, but when you find out what they really do and how much they get paid and what their life's like, it's, believe me, it's not glamorous.
It's not. And you hope that, you know, it leads to something better, but you definitely have to pay
your dues. Now, director of player personnel, that's a good gig.
There you go. but you don't get there until you've done this stuff before. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at patriots.com. Sean writes in, the subject line says, Tom, you fool. Tom, back in the day, I used to be a manager for the radio Slack, and they should have just gave you a new phone. The worst company in America. They are sponsoring the Rolling Stones now, so what does that tell you? Just thought that was funny that you had problems with the Shack.
Yeah, it's the thing was, it was something to do with that particular phone. It wasn't their store policy. It was that phone had to be returned three times for to be fixed. It was just that. It was like this new kind of
magic spell or something.
I don't know what the heck it was. I mean, I was arguing with the manager and everything else. The guy makes $6.50 an hour. I mean, what am I going to do? Beat him up? You know, at some point you just
give him a headbutt and beat his face.
Yeah, I only do that if you personally attack me or my family.
All right.
So Polian better watch it.
Gary, it's 1:42. That means we have to take a break.
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my darling.
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Breaks a tackle. Drives it upfield. To the 10. To the 5. Touchdown. Benjamin Watson.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle,
every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale, Gary in the booth. We'll be here until 1 o'clock, and then John Rook, Patriots Playbook. Later on, it's Patriots Friday at 4 o'clock with Mike Felger, ESPN Radio 890 Boston, and they usually have some Patriots guests.
Like me.
Yeah, will you be on?
Yeah.
Oh, really? How do you know?
Because I'm on every week.
Is that a gig, a regular gig?
I guess so. He said, I'll see you next week.
Now, does he pay you for this?
I think I get some kind of certificate, so he says. I haven't seen anything.
Well, you know, make sure that he pays you, you know. Cause, you know, not paying you is a slap in the face.
I know.
Give me a break.
Hey, did you see my boy Oliver Hoyt playing fullback for the Cowboys, Fred?
Yeah.
Not bad, huh?
He's doing everything he can to stay in the league.
Well, he's undrafted free agent, backup linebacker. They moved him to fullback. He's killing people. He's playing special teams.
Much like Dan Klecko.
Dan Klecko.
Hey.
No, it's good.
Where's Jeremy Mincy?
Jeremy Mincy? I don't know where he is.
How's Dan Stevenson doing?
Yeah, he's not doing that.
Keevan Smith?
Well, now, Keevan Smith, the jury's still out on.
Well, my guy's playing.
He'll still be a
My guy's playing.
I. That's great. I don't remember ever saying that he couldn't play.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you know, he sounds like the type of guy the Patriots could use. Guy who play all
Absolutely.
Different positions. You know, good special teams guy.
Absolutely, and the Patriots will.
Maybe
have...
My point is maybe I'll be director of player personnel sooner than you think.
Well, the Patriots definitely will have to address that linebacker core next year.
Have to.
It's getting a little old.
I mean, if they go another year without doing it,
yeah,
that would be amazing.
No, they've got to. They've got to do something there. Let's see, going around a little bit on the league, Garrard's going to start for the
yep.
Jaguars. I think I relate that situation a lot like the Culpepper and Harrington thing. I think, you know, yeah, Leftwich is hurt, but I think he could play. I think they just want to see what Garrard can do.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, they have a pretty good record when he's been in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know what's going on there with the team. If they prefer him or what, you know, whatever, it's tough to say. I just think too many of these quarterbacks are trying to come back too soon. I don't think Roethlisberger should be playing with, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like everyone wants to say, hey, look how fast I came back. Great. You suck. You know what I mean? So what's the point?
Yeah. Over the Colts, I know that the Colts, a lot of their injury report, like the Patriots, is full of baloney, but two guys that are on it that may not play, or if they are play, will definitely not be 100% are their safety, Bob Sanders.
Mm-hmm. He's been out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and the right tackle, Ryan Diem.
Mm-hmm.
Both guys, they think they might practice today, but, you know, I don't know how healthy they are.
Sanders is, well, they're both big because one's a right tackle, but Sanders is big because of his speed. He runs under a 4.4 40, and a guy like he's a kind of a physical freak. He's the Ben Watson of safeties. So that would have been a good matchup one on one for the Colts because they could have taken Sanders and put him on Watson instead of a linebacker like the Vikings tried to do. But if he can't play, you know, like we said yesterday, Fred, their depth is not good. So when you take a guy like Sanders, who's an emerging star for that defense, and take him out and then put the next guy in, I think it's Bethea, the guy they drafted this year. I saw him play against the Broncos. He's not good.
Did Sanders play last week?
No.
So that might have had a lot to do with why the Broncos were able to run all over.
Plus, you take Corey Simon out, you take Monte Rieger out, you take Bob Sanders and Mike Doss out.
Rieger's out
at safety, yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to play.
Doss is out for the year. You got Sanders at safety. So you take your two starting safeties, your two starting D tackles, and that's, you know, you start to see why teams are running right up the middle on them.
Curtis Martin out for the season.
Yep.
And probably that could be it for him.
Well, it's kind of the reverse of Tiki Barber. Tiki Barber wants to go out before he gets injured and stuff like that. Martin, they said, basically needs new knees.
Yeah. When he came out of Pittsburgh, he had that problem
right.
with the ligaments. And actually, you know what? I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking of
he had an ankle. He had an ankle.
The guy that the Patriots drafted that didn't have ligaments was Jimmy Hitchcock.
Oh, okay.
He was the cornerback. That's the guy that always had the ligament problem in the knees.
But Martin's saying he still wants to play. See, that's one guy's going out early. One guy's trying to take it too far. You don't want to tell people when to retire, but Curtis, it's, you know, there's no sense of having your body take any more of a beating because he's not one of those guys that made people miss.
Yeah.
He took quite a pounding over the years. Let it go. Go to the Hall of Fame. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. You think he'd go to the Hall of Fame?
Martin is a guarantee.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. I just, you know, I'm not, I know he's got phenomenal numbers and
probably the most underrated football player of my time.
Very underrated.
I've never seen a guy that underrated before. He's just a quiet, he's the Marvin Harrison of running backs. You don't even know what he sounds like unless you're like a Patriots or a Jet fan. You never see him on commercials. You never see him in interviews. He's a very quiet guy who just goes about his business. His numbers are phenomenal. He's been a premier back for years. He's a guaranteed Hall of Famer.
Okay. Let's see. Some other news. Let's see. All the games are sold out this week.
In other words, we're out of emails. As Fred is talking about all the sellouts in the NFL.
Let's see. Let's check the emails. Webradio@patriots.com. Yep, we're out of emails. That's okay. Broncos running backs are banged up.
Who's that?
Let's see. Mike Shanahan, the era has been to run the football. Tatum Bell has sprained both big toes. How do you sprain both big toes?
I have no idea.
And starting fullback Kyle Johnson has a sprained ankle, as does running back backup Cedric Cobbs. Mike Bell's still healthy. Cecil Sapp is okay.
Well, that's the thing about Tatum Bell that people are worried about is that he has a lot of injuries, and taking the load throughout the whole year like that might start to wear on him. And
it's kind of nice to see other teams with injury problems,
yeah,
not the Patriots.
I told you, Pittsburgh big in that game, big.
Yeah. Let's see. Chris Sims might be put on IR.
Well, he's done for the year.
But he was talking about coming back.
No, he's out.
No?
They said maybe like the final game or two, and they said they're not going to be in playoff contention. What's the sense of putting this guy, you know, in that position? He's going to be a free agent next year. I don't even know why he'd want to.
Okay. And Harold Reynolds is suing the ESPN.
Oh, he is.
That's what I heard, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I never found out what happened. I mean, he was charged with, they said he had sexual harassment.
I don't know. But he's suing ESPN.
ESPN is kind of like the bigger version of Belichick. They don't let anything out of that place. I mean,
Salisbury got suspended,
yeah,
supposedly,
and they won't say why.
They won't say why, yeah.
Well, you know, Trev Alberts got fired he didn't come, something happened with him on the college football. People just go away at ESPN.
Yeah.
you don't know why.
You know, for a while I thought Susie Colbert might be going away, but then she came back. She missed a week for personal reasons. But you notice now she always wears turtlenecks, but she's got that turkey neck. It's like these veins pop out when she talks. You know, she's like one of those wrestlers doing a pose. You like Susie Colbert?
No, not really.
Okay, so what are you laughing about?
No, it's just, I mean, I never really know. I don't really look at her veins or her neck. I just,
well, that's why they put the turtleneck.
Let me put it this way.
Bonnie is hot.
When
Susie Colbert,
whatever
happened to Bonnie
Colbert
Bernstein?
Rules. When they go to a sideline reporter, Fred, my ears shut off. I don't care what they have to say. They have no information at all. It's just, I think it's the most ridiculous thing in the world.
It's okay if they're talking about what's going on in the sideline.
But
when
don't.
They come on with these prepackaged reports, you know, earlier in the week, who cares?
Right. Let me tell you the secret that the NFL doesn't want you to know.
Do
you
hey,
know
it's
why,
Bonnie Bernstein.
Do you know why?
That's not what we're looking for.
Are you done? Do you know why there's so many sideline reporters?
Why?
Because they're trying to find a way to get women involved in the broadcasting aspect of football, because no one wants to hear a woman call a game. They tried it in college, and it sucks. I'm sorry, it sucks. It's awful. It's god-awful. And they don't want any women broadcasting NFL games. So what they do is now they've created all these sideline reporter positions, and they're almost all women. That way they can say, well, see, we got women involved, and I'm telling you, that's what it's all about.
I mean, I don't mind it as long as they're down reporting on sideline news. But I don't need them to tell me about someone's workout regimen, what they did during the week, or what a coach said.
They'll
during
do it
a
right
meeting.
In the middle of the game. Yeah, like during a play.
It makes no sense. The guys in the booth can say that just as easily. I don't need you on the sideline saying that.
Right.
I need you watching on what's going on in the sideline.
And how many reports from that do you get a game? One, two?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's just a waste of time.
It really is. I'm right
luckily,
there with you.
Luckily, Monday Night Football has seven of them. So in case, you know, someone farts, you know, so they'll have it.
Oh, my goodness. No, it's...
Who farted?
I don't know, like, are we just that much smarter than them? Or are we that much stupider? Why do we see that? And these network execs don't.
Because ESPN plays to a dumb crowd. They're so big now that they have to play to the average fan. Like the people us and the people that interact here with us about the Patriots, we are smarter than most. I mean, I went to school in Vermont. The sports there is hacky sack and snowboarding.
Frisbee.
You should hear how people talked about football. They liked Stuart Scott. They thought Chris Berman was funny.
Right.
And I'd be in the gym just ready to freaking explode. But that, and I thought to myself, I said, you know what? These are the people they're catering to. It's not me anymore. It's them. Because there's more of them than there are of us.
Yeah, I guess. Went to the gym over in Minnesota, the guy's got his shirt off.
That was disgusting.
What was that all about?
That guy should have been arrested and put in jail for 2 years.
I mean, it's not like he was obese or anything like that, but
no, he was
you don't take your
guy.
Shirt off in a gym.
He's doing,
you got your sweaty back on
the
everything?
Elliptical. He was doing the elliptical, and he had his shirt off.
With a towel stuck down the front of his pants. I don't know what that was all about.
I don't know. You know, and then, you know, then you get some crazy man like me who's in a bad mood, punch him in the face, then I'm the bad guy.
Right.
You know, people like that should be punched in the face. He's got no respect for other people. He's inconsiderate, but, you know, as soon as someone nails him, they're going to be the bad guy.
James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina says, the more I think about this Sunday's game, the more I look forward to it. You had to think about it to look forward to it? Anyway, he says, I still think the Patriots are in much better position this year to win this one. Last year, the Patriots were still trying to recover from key losses on both sides of the ball and had players still trying to get comfortable playing in unfamiliar positions. On top of that, the Colts were on a roll and were playing their best football in years. This year, Patriots are playing much better, not dealing with major injuries on both sides of the ball, and the players are seeming to be more comfortable playing the positions they are this year, right? I think that that's all true. He says, the result, the defense is playing great. The offense is improving. The Colts are still undefeated, but until last week, their offense was not playing as well, and the defense is still much worse than last year. I'm sticking with my pick, Patriots 34, Colts 23.
Well, that's the one thing he said that you might want to be worried about is until last week their offense wasn't playing well.
Right.
Now, what if they kick started it in the second half of that?
And they started
Denver
playing
game.
Well against one of the league's supposedly best defenses.
That's listen, if the Colts win, even though the Patriots will lose, it will be a classic because the only way the Colts can win is like 41-38. They're not going to win 21-17. They're just not. I mean, I know they can win those games, but against the Patriots at home with Maroney, Brady, all the weapons they have, there's just no way. So if they win the game, at least you'll see an exciting one.
James says, one more thing. If I am not wrong, the Patriots are the only NFL team this decade to have a winning record five straight years from 2001 to 2005.
Yes, I do not know the answer to
that. I don't know if that's true or not.
Did the Colts have a losing record in 2001?
Was that the first year? I don't remember.
Yeah, because did Dungy take over in 2002? 2002, 3, 4, 5. I think the Colts probably had a losing record in 2001.
We couldn't do diddly.
It's a question for Pop Perillo.
That's probably right, because if I remember back correctly, the Colts had a losing record in 2001.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you on Tuesday after a big Patriots win over the Colts on Sunday.